The Book of Heroines and Heroes. Heroines and Heroes. And the last message we did, we talked about Deborah. And we talked about the lady that drove the tent peg through the king or the general's temple. A woman and a tent peg changed history. And now, we're going to talk about another hero in the history of Israel. Another hero in the history of Israel. In Judges, the 6th chapter, the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. Again, Marilyn brought out something the last time. She said, why did these people keep on doing this? Why did they keep on doing this? I'll tell you why they kept on doing it, because they didn't listen to their fathers. Israel had rest for 40 years. 40 years is a generation, and then a new generation raises up. And the land was undisturbed for 40 years, and then all of a sudden, all of those die off, and a new generation comes that didn't listen to their fathers, and that don't know the Lord. Then the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord gave them into the hands of the Midian 7 years. Seven's number of perfection now. And the power of Midian prevailed against Israel, because Midian and the sons of Israel made for themselves the dens, which were in the mountains and the caves and strongholds. They had to live in caves in the mountains. For it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites would come up with the Amalekites and the sons of the east and go against them. So they would camp against them and destroy the produce of the earth as far as Gaza, and leave no substance in Israel, as well as no sheep, oxen, or donkey. For they would come up with their livestock and their tents, and they would come in, and the locusts for the number, both they and their camels, were innumerable. And they came into the land to devastate it. They followed the grass, is what they did. They followed the grass. There was a movie a long time ago that a man did. They went over there in the Middle East. And he, in 1920-something, and he filmed this movie of these Bedouin following the grass. Following the grass. That's what these people were doing. They were following the grass. So Israel was brought very low because of Midian, and the sons of Israel cried unto the Lord. Now they get religion. Now they get religion. And when you get religion, the right religion, things happen. When you get the right religion, things happen. They had the wrong religion before. That came about when the sons of Israel cried to the Lord on account of Midian, that the Lord sent a prophet to the sons of Israel, and he said to them, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, it was I who brought you out from the land of Egypt and brought you from the land of the house of slavery. And I delivered you from the hands of Egyptians and from the hands of all your oppressors, and dispossessed them before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. I am Jehovah your Elohim. And you shall not fear the gods, little gods, of the Amorites, in whose land you live, but you have not obeyed me. Then the angel of the Lord, Jehovah, came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abiezite, and his son Gideon. Now this boy, Gideon, his name is Warrior. Warrior. That's what Gideon means. And he was beating out wheat in a wine press in order to save it from the Midianites. Now he's taking the wheat and he's beating it out. He's threshing the wheat in a wine press. Not where you thresh, not a threshing floor, but he's hiding out. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. The name's warrior, you remember. Now, warrior, conqueror, I am with you. Then Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all the miracles which your fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? And but now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of the Midian. Now you have to remember who the Midians were. Jethro was a priest in Midian, wasn't he? This was Moses' family that he married into, and it was also Abraham's son through Keturah. All of Abraham's children, except for Isaac, would curse Israel, Isaac. All of the others would curse Isaac in the end. He sold wild oats, and those wild oats came and cursed his own child, the promised child. And the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? Didn't I send you? Didn't I tell you to go do this? If I tell you to do it, do it. And he said to him, O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in all of Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house. Remember, sometimes the youngest, the oldest is cursed, and the youngest is blessed. Remember David? David yet to come. So Gideon said to him, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that is you have spoken with me. Please not depart from here until I come back to you and bring out my offering and lay it before you. And he said, I will remain until you return. Then Gideon went in and prepared a kid and unleavened bread from an ephah of flour, and he put it in. And he put the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot and brought them out to him under the oak and presented to him. And we're talking about the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ here. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Now the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand, and he touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. And then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw this, that he was the angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And then the Lord said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. Then Gideon built an altar there in the Lord, and he named it the Lord in peace to this day, and it shall be the Ophrah of the Ebionites. Now the same night it came about that the Lord said to him, take up your father's bull and a second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal, which belongs to your father, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. This is the sacred grove. And he built an altar to the Lord God on top of the stronghold of the in an orderly manner, and he took a second bull and offered a burnt offering and the wood of the Asherah which you shall cut down, the trees. By the way, these are evergreen trees. Evergreen trees burn pretty good if they get hot. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had spoken to him. And it came about, because he was too afraid of his father's household, that the men of the city do it by night, and they did it by day. They do it by day, and he did it by night. When the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of the Baal was torn down. And the Asherah which was beside it was cut down, and the second bull was offered on the altar which had been built. And they said to one another, who did this? Who did this thing? And they searched about, inquired, and Gideon the son of Joash did this thing. Then the men of the city said to Joash, "Bring out your son that he may die, for he has torn down the altar of Baal, and indeed he has cut down the Asherah which was beside it." So Joash said to all who stood against him, "Will you contend for Baal, or will you deliver, him? Whoever will plead for him shall be put to death, and by morning it shall be a god. Let him contend for himself, because someone has torn down his altar." Therefore on that day he named him Jerubbaal. That is to say, let Baal contend against him. Let Baal fight against him, because he had torn down his altar. Then all the Midianites and all the Amalekites and all the sons of the east assembled themselves, and they crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. So the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and the Ahazites were called together to follow him. Now this boy is afraid, but when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him, he is brave now. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they also were called together to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher and to Zebulun and Naphtali, and they came up and they met him. And then Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken, behold, I will put fleece of wool on the threshing floor." He still is having trouble believing, isn't he? Marilyn, Sharon, Donald Grewar over there in the UK and Wales. If God showed you one miracle, would you still want to ask for another one? To be so unbelieving to ask for another miracle? He did. "But I'll put fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and it is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me, and you've spoken." Having trouble believing, isn't it? "And it was so, and when he arose early in the next morning and squeezed the fleece, it drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water. Then Gideon said to God, 'Do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. I still don't believe. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let the dew on all the ground.' And God did so that night, and for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was all over the ground." Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him arose early, and they camped beside the spring of Herod. And the camp of Midian was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give Midian into their hands." He got 300 men. He said, "That's too many. You don't need that many. Lest Israel become boasting, saying that we are power, by my own power, or my own power has delivered us. Therefore come and proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is afraid and trembling, let him go return and depart from Mount Gilead." So 2,200 people returned, and 10,000 remained. He had 300 chosen men now, but a whole lot of others were there. Thousands of others were there. Then the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are still too many, bring them down to the water, and I will test them. I will test them there for you, and therefore it shall be he that whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, he shall go with you. But every one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, he shall not go." And so he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "You shall separate for everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, as well as everyone who kneels to drink." Now the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. They filled water, and they lapped it up like a dog. But all the rest of the people kneeled to drink water. Now I heard it said before that the people that picked the water up and they could look around and lap the water, that those people were aware more and they were more warriors. You can't look around you when you're down sucking up water from a stream, but when you pick it up and put it in your mouth and then drink a little bit as you're looking around. And the Lord said to Gideon, "I will deliver you with the 300 men who lapped, and will give the Midianites into your hand, so all the other people, let them go home, each man to his house." So the 300 men to the people's provisions and their trumpets into their hands. And Gideon sent all the other men of Israel, each to his own tent, but retained 300 men in the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Now that same night it came about that the Lord said to him, "Arise and go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. But if you are afraid to go down, go with Purah, your servant, down to the camp. And you will hear what they are saying, and after your hands will be strengthened, that you may go down against the camp." So he went down to Purah, his servant, down to the outpost of the army, and was in the camp. Now the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the sons of the east were laying down in the valley, and are numerous as locusts, and their camels without number, as numerous as the sand of the seashore. Then Gideon came, and behold, a man was relating a dream to his friend. And he said, "Behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was trembling into the camp of Midian. And it came about." Now remember, I've been teaching about several other messages on dreams, visions, and hypnosis in the Bible. God hypnotized these people. "And it came about the tent and struck it, that it fell and turned upside down in the tent and lay flat. And his friend answered and said, 'This is nothing less than the sword of the Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. Gideon has given Midian and all the camp into his hand.'" God has given Midian and all the camp into his hand. Now these people were afraid. He's only got 300 men now. He had 1,000 before, now he's got 300. But God chose him. "And it came about when Gideon heard the account of the dream and its interpretation, he bowed and worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, 'Arise, for the Lord has given the camp of Midian into your hands.' And he divided the 300 men into three companies, 100 men in each company. And he put trumpets and empty pitchers into the hands of all of them, with torches inside the pitchers. And he said to them, 'Look at me and do exactly what I tell you. When I come to the outskirts of the camp, do as I do. And when I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you shall also blow the trumpets all around the camp and say, "For the Lord and for Gideon, for the Lord and for Gideon." So Gideon and 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. When they had just posted the watch, and they blew the trumpets, and they smashed the pitchers that were in their hands. They're going to learn to fight God's way. They're going to learn to fight God's way. When the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers, they held the torches in their hands and the trumpets in their right hands, and blowing and cried, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." And each stood in his place around the camp, and all the army ran crying out, and they fled. When they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set the sword of one another against one another, even through all the whole army. And the army fled as far as Beth Shittah toward Zerah, as for the edge of Abel Mehalah by Taboth. And the men of Israel were summoned from Naphtali and from Asher and Manasseh, and they pursued Midian. And Gideon sent messengers through all the hill country of Israel, saying, "Come down against Midian and take the waters before them as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan." So all the men of Ephraim were summoned, and they took the waters as far as Beth Barah and the Jordan. And they captured the two leaders of the Midian, Oreb and Zeb. And they killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb. And they killed Zeb at the winepress of Zeb. While they pursued Midian, they brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon from across the Jordan. And the men of Ephraim said to him, "What is this thing that you have done, not calling us when you went to fight against Midian?" And they contended with him vigorously. But he said to them, "What have I done now in comparison with you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? And God has given the leaders of Midian, Oreb and Zeb, into your hands. And what was I able to do in comparison with you?" Then their anger toward him subsided when he said that. Then Gideon and the 300 men with him came to the Jordan and crossed over, weary yet pursuing. And they said to the men of Succoth, "Please give us loaves of bread so that the people who are following me, for they are weary. And I am pursuing Zeba and Zalmunna, the kings of Midian." And the leaders of Succoth said, "Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hands, that we should give bread to your army?" And Gideon said, "All right. When the Lord has given Zeba and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will thresh your bodies. I will thrash your bodies, and with thorns of the wilderness and with briars." And he went up from there to Peniel and spoke. Peniel means the face of God. And he spoke similarly to them, and the men of Peniel answered him just as the men of Succoth had answered. And he spoke also to the men of Peniel, and he said, "When I return safely, I will tear down this tower." Now Zeba and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and their armies with them, about 15,000 men, all who were left of the entire army of the sons of the east, for the fallen ones were 120,000 swordsmen. 120,000 fell already. And Gideon went up by the way, and those who lived in tents on the east of Naboth and Jochebeah, and attacked the camp, and when the camp was unsuspectingly. And Zeba and Zalmunna fled, and he pursued them and captured the two kings of Midian, Zeba and Zalmunna. And he routed the whole army. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle by the ascent of Heres. And he captured a youth from Succoth and questioned him, when the youth wrote down for him the princes of Succoth and the elders, 77 men. And he came to the men of Succoth and he said to them, "Behold, Zeba and Zalmunna, concerning you whom you taunted me, saying, 'Are the hands of Zeba and Zalmunna already in your hand, that we should give bread to your men who are weary?'" And he took the elders of the city and the thorns of the wilderness and briars, and he disciplined the men of Succoth with thorn bushes. He switched their legs, so to speak. And he tore down the tower of Peniel, and he killed the men of the city. And he said to Ziba and Zelmunna, "What kind of men were they whom you killed in Tabor?" And they said, "They were like you, each one resembling the son of a king." And he said, "They were my brothers and the sons of my mother, as the Lord lives. And if only you had let me live, I would not kill you. If only you had let them live, I would not kill you." And he said to Jeter, his firstborn, "Rise and kill him." But the youth did not draw the sword, for he was afraid because he was still a youth. Then Zuba and Zumana said, "Rise up yourself and fall on us, for as the man, so is the strength." So Gideon arose and he killed Ziba and Zelmunna, and he took the crescent ornaments which were on their camels' necks. The crescent ornaments are today the ornaments of Islam. These people were worshiping the stars and the moon, just as Islam does today. They don't say they do, but they do. These are their ancestors right here. Then the men of Israel said to Gideon, "Rule over us, both you and your son, also your son's son, for you have delivered us from the hand of the Midian." But Gideon said to them, "Well, I will not rule over you now, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you." This is a theocracy. This is not a kingdom. God's going to rule over you. Yet Gideon said to them, "I will request of you that each of you give me an earring from his spoil." For they had gold earrings because they were Ishmaelites. Remember what I told you about Islam? Islam's ornaments and what they do goes way, way back. They were pagans. And they said, "We will surely give them." And so they spread out the garment, and each one of them threw in an earring there from the spoil. And the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, beside the crescent ornaments and the pendants and the purple robes which were on the kings of Midian, and besides the neck bands that were on their camels' necks. And Gideon made into an ephod, and he placed it in his city of Ophrah, and all Israel played the harlot there, with it there, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his household. A snare. God delivered them. God showed himself mighty, and God showed him that he was their God. And yet, what happened?
They
went right back to idols again. Right back to idols again. As we trust in the Lord God of Israel and of us, let us trust in him. Let us not worship the gods of the world. Let's not have the shack. You know what that is, the shack? That's a book that people read and name it and claim it. Prosperity gospel. Let's believe in Jesus and him crucified. Not the God of this world. Not the prosperity gospel. Not the charismatic movement today. But in the God of Israel, the God of stability, the God of provision, the face of God who shall provide. Father, thank you for all the blessings you give to us this day. Father, I pray that this message goes out and touches the hearts and minds and souls and lives of those people that you called for yourself. I pray for my students all over the world, that you touch their hearts and their lives, of their loved ones, their families, and that they'll hear your word and believe it. And I pray for all those out there suffering right now, with all types of illnesses and plagues of other humankind. Father, please protect them wherever they go and wherever they are. Please give them strength and healing in their hearts and minds and souls. Father, those of my friends that have lost dear loved ones, I pray that you give comfort to their hearts. Please forgive me where I fail you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Yeah.